As we enter your word, I humble myself afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. So I will speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. And I ask you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely electronically. So that, Father, your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further praise as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and release in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, I have a very important message for today. I've entitled it, Obeying Your Conscience, the key to destiny. I think that once Christians get born again, they think that's it, you know, and they're not as sensitive to their conscience maybe as they used to be even before they became Christians. This is such a great truth, and it's a destiny-shaping truth that I'm about to share with us. And it applies both to sinners and saints. And when after we get born again, for us as saints, it becomes that much more important. Before we get born again, it affects, you know, our destiny, determines, I'm going to show many examples in the scripture in a minute, you know. But after we become Christians, it's even that much more important. Sadly and regrettably, the Apostle Paul tells us that some Christians have seared their conscience. Born again, spirit-filled. They're seared with a hot iron. They're not sensitive to the things of the Spirit anymore, to the conscience. They don't listen to it. Some people say, oh, we have the word, you know, they don't listen to the... Now, what do we mean by obeying your conscience? It means saying yes with your will to what your conscience tells you is the truth and acting upon it as much as possible. And I've added that because even as Christians, and certainly this is true of sinners, because of the domination of the sin nature, you might find a man agrees with what God and tries to do it, but he doesn't do it very well. God doesn't mind that. So long as at the heart level, he's saying yes, and he's acting upon it to the best of his ability. As far as God is concerned, that person has obeyed their conscience. Now, he may not be able to do everything that God is priming him to do, but he has shown a willingness to do it. And for such people, Christian and sinner, you find that God shows himself strong on their behalf. That is why the scripture says, I'm getting ahead of myself, it's one of the scriptures I'm going to reference in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's okay. You know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Observe, that was number one in the Old Testament. Number two, it wasn't Israel. It was the whole earth.
this, your universal truth, to all human beings on the face of the earth. He did it then, he's still doing it today. The eyes of the Lord are scanning. That's a computer modern expression. Scanning the whole earth. And wherever he sees those whose hearts are perfect, these people who are obeying their conscience, those who are saying yes to obvious truth, they may not know God yet. God shows himself strong on their behalf. But the antithesis is also true. Those who say no, he doesn't show himself strong on their behalf. The mercy of God on those people is reduced. See, mercy is the kindness of God, just a different expression, you know, to men based on the honesty of their heart. It's the eternal life, but it's given from the outside because they're not born again yet, you know. So it comes from the outside and it influences their will, their mind, their emotions, their body, their circumstances in such a way as to begin to maneuver them into the will of God so that they will fulfill their destiny. That's why I say it is the key to obeying destiny. Now let's look at scripture. Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 to start with. Then from there we'll go to chapter 1. I'm putting chapter 2 before chapter 1 because of the context in which I'm teaching. It says, for when the Gentiles... I didn't hear you. He's talking about people who are not born again. The nations. This applies to... I remember when I first got born again, around the time I got born again, one of the questions I had in my heart was, what's going to happen to our forefathers who didn't get to know Scripture? They didn't preach to them. They died. Are they going to hell? That thing bothered me for years until I understood this. This is universal. Not only is it universal, it spans the entire time spectrum of man's existence. In other words, God has been doing this since the fall of Adam till today. It's still happening today. It happened before Jesus came. It happened after Jesus came. Wherever people are, this what I'm about to read to you is functional. For when the Gentiles, we have not the law. The law just means the word of God. You know, they don't have the Bible. They don't know God like we do. Do by nature. Everybody scream it. Say it again. I didn't hear you. You know, when we do things, we do it by the Spirit. But they don't do it by the Spirit. They don't know the Spirit. So the scripture, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, uses the word nature. What it actually means in practice is that they do it by God's sovereignty. They call it nature. But it's by God sovereignly works upon them to do the right thing, even though they don't know the God. It's a great truth. And this thing, it doesn't only stop when you're a sinner. After you become a Christian, the same thing is still happening. You find God is showing mercy to some people. And then some other people just say, why? It's the heart. We've given this example over and over and over again. I taught it recently on Saul and David. The sins of David were more grievous in terms of what actually happened than the sins of Saul. Well, to some degree. Saul never committed adultery with anybody's wife, as far as we know, you know, and suddenly didn't have their husbands killed. That's a very grievous sin. Although Saul's sins too were terrible, you know, rebellion, you know, and you know, idolatry and consulting a witch, which is probably more terrible than adultery. But none of them is good anyway, you know. But we see God showing mercy to David and taking mercy from Saul. He actually said so. He said, I took my mercy from him. Then he promised David. He said, I will not take my mercy from you as I took him from Saul. Why? This thing. Conscience. And I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me say. What actually happens is that a track record of how you obey your conscience is kept in heaven. When we're in university, I think they still do the same, you know. I still remember. One of the things I loved about University of Ibadan, I think most universities do this, was what we had was continuous assessment. Before I entered UI, in 1974, September 74. The years before, that's, you know, I think 71, they used to have what they called Almighty June. Everybody did final exam in June, and it's what you get in June that determines whether you pass or fail. So if you make any mistake in that June exam, no matter how good you've been in over the year, you know, you fail. But they found that that was not a good system. So they adopted, I think they adopted it from America. They call it continuous assessment. So what happens, what happened with me in UI, by the grace and mercy of God, I had a first class in physics. And what helped me was I was consistent. I, when looking back now, it wasn't just me, it's this thing by nature. It was the mercy of God. That time I didn't know God. I wasn't born again or anything. But when I look back now, I know it was the mercy of God. God had mercy on me to be consistent. So, in UI in those days, you know, even coming to lecture is a part. You miss your lecture, it's going to affect your GPA. They call it GPA now. We didn't used to call it GPA in those days. Your grade point average. You know, then you have to attend all labs, you know, because we were in physics, so we did a lot of lab work, you know, laboratory, tutorials, homeworks. Everything is counting towards your final grade. Then you do an exam, of course. But the exam, you know, the exam only used to carry about 60% or 50 or 40. The rest is the continuous assessment. So that you are going to be judged on how good a student you really were. I remember, it's just, you know, by the way, you know, going... I just came back from England, and when I finished with Brother Emiko, I was looking for a job. You know, I taught in a school, and I was trying to get back into the university system. Anyway, I went to the Polytechnic. They took me UI anyway, but I went to the Polytechnic here, you know, to see the head of department, because I was looking for something to do anyway because UI zone hadn't come out. So I just said, look, let me try Poly, because I could lecture in Poly and all of that. And I remember Professor Mrs. Oreshegun, you know, she was in Poly before she crossed over to UI. So I said, maybe I'll do that. I'll go to Poly. So I went to Poly, and I went to see the head of department of physics there. I still remember, I can still remember his face. And I gave him my certificate, you know, transcript and all of that. He looked at it, then he looked at me. He looked at it again, then he looked at me. He looked at it the third time, then he looked at me. He said, you must have been not only consistent, but consistently good. I have never seen a result like this. They gave me the job, but I turned it down because the UI one came out. So I couldn't go. I didn't go to Poly. That's what God does. It's continuous assessment. God will not fail you simply because you failed one exam. Thank you, darling. God will not. This is true for sinner, it's true for saint. The man who consistently obeys his conscience then has one big fall, like David. He will not fail. Because if you do a continuous assessment of David's life, his attitude towards the things of God and obeying his conscience, he did that 90-something percent. That was just a small period of it. So it was not enough to bring down his GPA. So even the annals of God's word, Pastor G, David still had the first class. Give David a super clap offering. He missed a distinction. Like Joseph. Joseph got a distinction. But he's still first class. That's why we still talk about Jesus, the son of David. He was not judged on that one event. It's continuous assessment. Now, I got news for you. You are being continuously assessed today. I've got more news for you. You have been consistently assessed from your mother's womb. It was your assessment that determined where you got born again, when you got born again. It is this continuous assessment that is determining how much revelation you are getting, the state of your heart, and it is going to determine your destiny. Young people, every day I thank God. I got born again when I was still, I had done some bad things, but not too many. You know, I got born again quickly at the age of 20. My wife too got born again at the age of 22. You know, 21, 22, somewhere in there. You know, so we were very young. It helped. When I look back now, it's one of the things that really helped us. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because I tell you, it's because it's continuous assessment. If you get born again, yes, God can help you. Your sins will be something. But there's some ground you may not be able to cover. Hence this, the significance of this message. Do by nature. That's where I left off. The things contained in the law. These, I didn't hear you. Having not the law, they don't know the Bible. They don't have the word of God. They're not Christians. Are a what? Law unto themselves. I'm talking about obeying your conscience. Which show, I didn't hear you. The work of the law, written in their hearts. Ah! Two questions. Who wrote it? God. You know, the Yoruba people, incidentally, Para Elton spoke about the Yorubas in that interview and said that the revival is going to start in Yoruba land. Spot on. It's not because the Yorubas are special. Nobody is special. But all the peoples that God favor, He favors them for their father's sakes. Israel is special, not because of the Israelites, but because of what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. Are you listening to me? Nigeria and Yoruba land is favored, not because there are so many terrible Yoruba people, hypocrites, and all of that, but because of Bishop Ajayi Crowther. God never forgets. He is a covenant-keeping God. Are you listening to me? Of all the tribes in there was no Nigeria at that time. Nigeria did not come into being until 1914. But before Nigeria became Nigeria, do you understand? In what they call the Southern Protectorate and all of that, you know, the British missionaries who came and began to preach the gospel, they found not everybody, but there was a significant number of the Yoruba people who began to respond to God. One of them was this young boy called Ajayi Crowther. He was actually a slave. He was actually his hometown. And he's saying the slave traders raided the place. So he was taken as a slave. And they were taking them, you know, to America to become a slave. The British that had, put into place the anti-slavery law, you know, the abolition of the slave trade. It was a British ship. Give the Lord a clap offering. For the Queen. That's why God will always save the King. You don't understand. People don't understand. They don't know anything. God, He's a covenant-keeping God. It was a British ship that intercepted the slave ship and set the people free. Then they now shipped, watch this story. They shipped them to Sierra Leone. So he was in Sierra Leone for some time. Then became a Christian. He submitted to the British, the English missionaries. They taught him the Bible, you know, gave him education, Then he came back. He was shipped back to Nigeria. When he came back to Nigeria, he went to go to his village to go and look for his mother. and his sister, and he found them. Give the Lord another clap offering. Give Bishop Ajayi Crowder a super clap offering. We are here today because of the man and others like him. Do you know what he did? He made a vow to God that he was going to get this gospel to his people. So he sat down and translated the Bible into Yoruba. God will never forget. It's like the King James Bible. So why are the Yorubas? Because of that. He even started to help the Igbos translate it to Igbo. This same Ajayi Crowder called the Igbo guys who got born again, you know, some of the bishops and all of that. He was the first African bishop to be ordained in the Church of England in 1864. That's why. And down through the years, there's always been a remnant in Yoruba land. You and I are part of it. That have been faithful to God. And because of that remnant, there's a favor. Just like God has a favor for the Jews because of their fathers, God has a favor on the United Kingdom because of their fathers, the King James Bible, John Wesley, God will never forget. The missionaries, the David Livingstones, the Mary Slessors, and thousands of others we don't know. We don't know their names. That laid down their lives, God will never forget. That's why England will never go down. Go and write it. Go and write it. The same thing with America, because of their fathers. America gave us the Azusa Street, the Topeka, Kansas, the baptism of the return of the baptism, 1901. January 1, 1901. Thomas Parham, Topeka, Kansas. Then, a few years later, 1906 in Azusa Street. Then after that, America gave us the voice of healings, the word of faith, and the charismatic movement. God will never forget. Those three nations, and there will be others who will come along, nothing can happen to them. That's why Putin is wasting his time. Because the UK and US are the greatest supporters of Ukraine. And you know what? My wife said this when this thing first happened. Do you know that Zelensky is Jewish? You don't know. The president of Ukraine is Jewish. Seed of Abraham. You want to fight him, you will lose. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. Glory be to God. The God who watches over his word to perform it. Are you listening to me? So, God writes that law in their conscience. Their conscience also, I didn't hear you, bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Verse 16, and I'll stop there in this section. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You see, on judgment day, there are going to be two main judgments. There's going to be the Bema seat. The Bema seat is where we Christians go. It's not to judge whether you go to heaven or go to hell. It's going to be judgment based on that will determine your reward in eternity. You know, it will determine the glory, the order of your resurrection, you know, and all of that. I preached that last week. You know, that judgment is going to be based on, you're already born again. That's baseline. That's not. They're going to look at your heart. That's why I call it the secrets of men. The things that are in your yes, your no, your yes, your no. Cumulative assessment of how you obeyed your conscience and therefore did the will of God or didn't do it will now determine your position in the kingdom. Whether, you know, you have authority over five cities, over one city, over 10 cities, or over no cities. Oh, it's there. You'll be in the kingdom, born again, but nothing. No ruling. They don't even come near the throne. They'll see God afar off. I always see the throne, they'll see the people go there, but you don't, you stay where you are. You're not worthy. Because of the way you lived your life. That assessment is going on now as I speak. That's why if you check the scriptures, it says that, talking about the great white throne judgment, the same thing is going to happen at the great white throne judgment will have some sinners, a few saints, we checked this last week, a few saints, those ones that are raised from the sea. So they're resurrected, but they do not have glorified bodies. They have natural bodies, but they go to heaven. Then death and hell, those ones go to the lake of fire. You know, so that's what happens. That's the judgment of the great white throne judgment. Even there, too, the same thing is going to happen. They will play back your life from cradle to grave. Show you all how you were you obeying your conscience. They will show you how God tried to help you and make you turn. You are stubborn. You refuse. You did your own. That's why the Bible says, and the books, everybody say books, not one. And the books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And they were judged out of the things that were written in the books. And everyone who was not found in the book of life, that he didn't get born again, that one goes to hell straight. But the ones who are, he said, and the things, not only the book of life, and the things that were written in the books. This is this conscience thing. It's happening, oh. We are under continuous assessment as I speak. Over the years, by the grace and the mercy of God, I, yet not I, I've been very careful about this thing. Even if I've quarreled with men, and I, you know, maybe I even do something or say something wrong, when I go back to God, I don't pretend. I wrote that prayer for us. We preached it here a few Sundays ago. I judge myself. I condemn my wicked actions and attitudes. I crucify by the Spirit the sin nature in. I don't spare myself. I'll tell you something I did some years ago. I've just been quickened. I haven't forgotten, but I've just been quickened. I did some things that were not very good. As a Christian then, you know, I got into a relationship I shouldn't have gotten into a relationship with. You know, I wasn't praying the way I should be praying and all that. You know what I did? It's in that house in Agbo where we started Scripture Pasture. I stood before God. I said, God, I am sorry. I slapped myself. I'm telling you the truth. Not serious slap. Bah, bah. I rather slap myself than somebody slap me. I'm being serious. I slapped myself. Foolish boy. I rebuked myself. It was inside my room. Nobody knew. I stood. Can you disgrace God? Look at how you behave. Ah, I chastened myself. And I promised God. I said, God, that will never happen again. And it didn't. Many people are not hard on themselves. And even if they have somebody, a good pastor, by the grace and the mercy of God, like me or mommy, who shout on you and slap you, you will leave the church. Yes, get offended. And all we are trying to do is bring you back into the road of destiny. I did it to myself. That's why I'm standing here today. So we are going to be judged. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1. This one is present truth. In other words, it's been happening from the time of, you know, from creation actually, you know, but God gave it to Paul as a revelation and is still true today. And that's why we have the rubbish and the nonsense that we see on the earth today. Let's read. There's a thought that just came to me. I'll put it on one side and then pick it up. Trust God will put me into remembrance so I will not forget. For the wrath of God, Romans chapter 1 verse 18. I actually got born again on this scripture. I'm sure you've heard my testimony. When I was in Ecom as a youth copper, I was reading, God got me, you know, through a series of events to read my Bible. Then I didn't even have one. I had to borrow one from one of the youth copper ladies who was also a teacher in the school. You know, I used to disturb her and I was such a, you know. So, but she, I said, please lend me your Bible. I said, what do you want to do with Bible? I said, just lend me. I got born again on that Bible, reading this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Everybody scream all ungodliness. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19 is an indictment. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God, everybody scream it, had showed it unto them. How? Through their conscience. They're not born again. They don't know the Bible. How did God show it to them? What we read in chapter 2. What we read in chapter 2. Who do by nature the things contained in the law. You know, the written in their conscience. God! And this is true of all humanity. I don't care whether you are born in Africa, South Africa, whether you are a Zulu, or whether you are a Fulani, or whether you are a Yoruba, or you are an Igbo. You know, whether your forefathers were worshipping Shango or Amadiora or whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. At every point in history, God has always done this. He has always worked in the conscience of men, and he will prick them, you know, and he will show them the right thing. I used to wonder many years ago, when I would hear, if I was reading this yesterday, in my personal Bible reading in the book of Ecclesiastes. My Bible says, where the word of the king is, there is power. And who can say unto him, what doest thou? You know that's what KBS is. Yoruba? Our kings are called KBS. That's a shortened form of KBS. It means nobody can ask you what you do. It's in the Bible. How do Yoruba people get that? They had it before the white man came. Kabiosi. My father-in-law of blessed memory, you know, he was an Oba in Ishure in Ijebu. You know, I remember one thing he used to tell me. He said to me, he said, Ashewa lenu Oba. That means a decree is in the mouth of the king. You know, that's what the Bible says. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Ashewa lenu Oba. Where did they get all that from? God! God! It was in the Bible all along. They knew it before they knew the Bible. Efiniwa. Kushebo. Now, in our language, that means that character is like smoke. You can't hide it. You know it's in the Bible? Is it the Bible? It says, you know, a troublesome woman. He said, even if you try and hide that, anything will come out. Where did the Yorubas, and I know the Igbos have theirs, and I know all tribes, they have it. You know, if you dig deep enough, you look at some of their proverbs, you see came from God. The Chinese, the Japanese, everybody. God showed it unto them. Am I talking to anybody here? Verse 20. He's now explaining another method. One is through the conscience. You know, all of it actually works through the conscience. So he now expatiates on that in verse 20. For the invisible things of him. I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you this afternoon? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are vaguely seen. Clearly. Clearly. You see, those of us who did physics, maths, medicine, should be the greatest believers in God. There is too much evidence. An overwhelming evidence of an intelligent creator is overwhelming. The other day I talked about Fibonacci numbers. I won't go there this afternoon. You know, it's all over creation. Look at the sun, the planets, the move in their course, like beautiful hymn, you know, great is thy faithfulness, you know, move in their courses above. They are mathematically precise elliptical orbits, not just circular. An ellipse is a circle that has been squashed, that follows a different mathematical formula. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. It was discovered not by Isaac Newton, by a guy called Kepler. Isaac Newton learned from Kepler. They asked him, they said, Newton, where is he? He said, I have seen further because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. What giants? Kepler and Galileo. Nobody is an island. They're going to learn from somebody. And unless you are faithful in that which is another man's, God will not give you your own. Isaac Newton was faithful in that which was Kepler's, faithful in that which was Galileo's, and then God gave him his own. And if you are faithful, like Albert Einstein, they asked Albert Einstein, who influenced you the most? He said, two people. Number one was Isaac Newton. Number two was James Clerk Maxwell, who incidentally was a born-again Christian. He said, it's on these giants. None of us, nobody's in isolation. You need people. You will learn from somebody. Are you listening to me? Before God will give you your own. Are you listening to me? These, it's there. For me, what takes the cake is DNA. DNA is a computer program. It's a computer code using chemical bonds, CTGA. So you go CTTGA. G-A, C-T-T-T, then it will stop. Codon. Somebody's talking to you. Then there will be a gap. Then we'll say, C-T-T-G-A, C-T-T-G-A, C-T-T-G-G-A. And that code is unique for every human being. Then you tell me there is no God? And of course, Israel. The history of Israel defies. People scattered all over the whole place. God brings them back together in 1948. Watch this. And the ancient Hebrew language, which had died, they revived it. That's what they write now. They write scientific papers today in Hebrew. The same Hebrew that your Bible is written in, which was supposed to be a dead language. Because what they were speaking in Europe was Yiddish. Yiddish is a mixture of old Hebrew and a little bit of German and some of these European languages. So the Hebrew had functionally dead, was functionally dead. They revived it. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. For the invisible things of him. From the creation of the world. And what? Clearly. I just gave you three examples. Planets, DNA of our physical bodies, and the history of Israel. But there are loads of others all over creation. Being understood. I didn't hear you. By the things that are made, even in eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. As continual assessment is taking place, you will have, when you stand before the throne of God, you're not going to have an excuse. You cannot say you didn't know. Okay, I did it. There was no church in my place. Nobody preached to me. He said, what about the heavens? What about your body that is fearfully and wonderfully made? Watch this. You breathe in oxygen. You breathe out carbon dioxide. That tree outside, it takes in carbon dioxide and releases oxygen. Stop that nonsense. You are without excuse. Because, now I'm getting to the heavy part. Because that when they knew God, now, they didn't know God, they're not born again. He's talking about conscience. went through their conscience. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 9, it says, this is the true light that lighteth every man. No exceptions. Every man that cometh into the world. Well, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It means it was originally enlightened through the conscience. This is true for every human being, all of us. This is how I got born again. When I read this thing, I said, guilty, 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 guilty as charged. And in my room, right there on my knees, I asked Jesus to come into my life and forgive my sins. When I realized that, I can't escape. Professing themselves to be wise, I didn't hear you. Oh, no, let me stop there. Okay, 22 to 32. Presenting themselves to be wise, I didn't hear you. They became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man and to birds, foolish men, four-footed beasts and creeping things. See all these funny things that the idols they make that will represent God. Oh. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. You see, when you reject God at the heart level, God will withdraw mercy. Then Satan will enter. And then you will start doing abominable things. Listen, I'm talking about keep obeying your conscience. This is not just a message to Christians. It's a message to the, it's an evangelistic message. Because we are living in a generation where iniquity is abounding. We're living in perilous times. This message needs to go out. And we're going to make a book out of it. You know, because this is a message for saint and sinner. Because everybody can identify with this. Listen. Wherefore, because of this rejection of conscience, of the evidence of God in creation that is clearly seen, of their own free will, they decide to ignore it. So their foolish heart becomes darkened. Then God gave them up, I didn't hear you, to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Hey, you haven't heard anything. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forevermore. Have you noticed in the Western world, they love dogs more than they love human beings? See them spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions. Some people will will their house to a dog. It's true. Some people, the dog has it or something, they will fly the dog from California, fly it to this thing in a private jet. A dog. And they are human beings who have not eaten. Is the perverseness, the corruption of the human mind, because it rejected God's truth through its conscience. Are you listening to me? You haven't heard anything yet. For this cause, God gave them up. See, he withdrew to mercy. You see, it's the mercy of God that makes you rational. That makes you feel the right kind of thing, think the right kind of thing. God gave them up unto vile affections. That is an abominable desire. Abominable pleasure. It is corrupted. See what he says. This is where he deals with homosexualism. For even the women, their women, did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to one another. Men, working with men, that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was deserved. It says meat in the Old King James. That's where things like AIDS, this monkeypox, I'm told it is predominant in the homosexual community. It's not. You can't withdraw from God and do what is, you know, even nature. Even leave Bible alone. Even nature says a man cannot have sex with a man. A woman cannot have sex with a woman. You can even look at the anatomy of the man and the woman. What are you going to do? You have to start doing perverse things. Because, is that what you want to do? Withdraw. Then you start. I'm deliberately doing what I'm doing. I'm under instruction. Obedience to your conscience is the key to your destiny. The more you violate your conscience, the worse your destiny gets. The more you obey your destiny, your conscience, the better you'll be able to fulfill your destiny. And on both sides of the road, very sadly on one side and gladly on the other side, there is a point of no return. If you violate your conscience long enough and far enough, you get to a place where you can't come back. That's why people go to hell. And on the other hand, if you obey your conscience consistently enough and long enough, you get to the place where you can't go back. Hallelujah. He shall become a pillar in my temple, and he will no go out. So, but the choice is yours. I'm not done yet. Not by a chinny chin chin. Even, verse 28. Oh God, help me. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Observe, it is them. They did not like to. God is obvious in creation. I remember as a young boy, I was 17 years old. I hadn't been born again yet. I got born again when I was 20, after I finished university. But I was in university. My first trip to England, I can never forget it. It was 1977. I went by Nigerian Airways, you know, to London for my summer holidays. My parents didn't let me go in 75 when I was in prelim. They didn't let me go in 76. Give my dad and my mom a super clap offering. They brought me up. They were not perfect, but they tried. Looking back now, I thank God. It's 1974. So, I went to UI September. I came back for, 75, after prelim I passed and I was going into part one, we call it part one in those days, I wanted to go to London, like all my friends, everybody in Ikoyi. I grew up in Ikoyi, Victoria Island. This one went, I went to my prayer, I want to go to London, my mom and my stepfather of blessed memory, Justice Macquarie, they said, you're not going to any London, you will walk in High Court. My stepfather was a judge in Lagos State High Court. They gave me a job as a clerk at Igbosheri High Court in Lagos. He said, you will walk there. And the car will not take you in the morning. You will find your way. During break, it's a true story. I thank God. You see, when I look back now, I see it was God working in my life. And causing my parents. They had the money. It wasn't money. How much was it to go to England and do this? 500 naira. It wasn't anything. Yes, the ticket was 300. Well, yes, ticket, return ticket was 300. They said to me, nonsense. They said, so during break, my father, my stepfather, he had his chambers inside the High Court. I was not allowed to go. I go down with all the clerks to the canteen and eat with everybody. I didn't know they were training me. The next year, London, London, I said, no! This time you are going to work with Adeboale Electrical. You are doing physics. I think the man is dead now. He was a good friend of my father-in-law. So they gave me a job. They had this factory in Isheri. We were living in Ikoyi. They had a factory in Isheri where they were assembling thermocool and all fridge and freezer. I said, you did physics. Go and do your physics. I would have to get up 7 o'clock because they had this trailer that used to take all the workers. If you miss it, so I would be with all these rough people, you know, factory hands and things like that. I was undergraduate university. I'll be, you know, I will enter the trailer, you know, I will struggle with them. I didn't know God was helping me. I thought my parents were being over hard because all my friends, I lived surrounded by millionaires when I was growing up. Some of my, I won't mention the neighbors, you know, they had swimming pools in their house, they had Rolls Royce, they had televisions in their cars. I'm talking about the kind of environment in which I live. My parents said, no. They said, you go and work in electrical. So I worked in electrical. 3 months of vacation from June to go back to school, you know. But I learned a lot. It was good for me. When I look back now, I made friends, you know, ate in the canteen with the common people, you know, and I would get home, you know, I have to find my way back, make sure they you know, come back and something, then I would take a bus from Obalende, and I'll take taxi from Ikoyi Hotel back home. Every day. It toughened me. Then it stripped pride. I didn't know at the time. Then 77 came. I was now in part two. I had done well. So they now say, you want to go for summer? I say, okay, this year you can go. I was rejoicing. I was 17 years old. I got into the plane. I'm telling you what was going on in my heart. Because God watches the heart. I got into the plane. I'd never been abroad before. My first time. I got into the plane. You know, I did physics and all of that. I was amazed at the technology. The way they manage the space. The space of the chairs. The space of the toilet. I was just thinking of design and... Ah! And in my heart. You know, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't born again, nothing. It's the heart. You know, I just said, ah, how can God have given men such wisdom? Look at this metal thing. And it's going to fly in the air. And we land in London. Everything is... It blew me away. It blew me away. You know, and all in my heart, I didn't know God. You know, but just this wisdom is... The white man is something else. And I guess kind of wisdom. That's what I was thinking. I did not know God was looking at me. God is looking at the heart. It was years later when I got born again that I now understood where all that light and all that wisdom came from. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now look at the things that are happening on the earth today. Read it after me and open your mouth. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Why is God angry?
Well, go and check 2 Timothy in the last, the perilous times ago. It's the same list. In fact, it's more comprehensive than that one.
Because men will not obey their conscience. You know, there are just some things, nature.
I remember, again, when I was a kid, I'm using my life example because I can talk from, because I know what was in my own heart. I don't know what's in other people's heart.
As a young boy, when I was 17, 18, 19, I used to tell my friends, I said, you know, you say, oh, I had this girlfriend, you know, I slept with her, this one too. I said, don't do that now. I said, have one at a time.
I didn't say you can't have, but I said,
if she was your sister, will you do that?
I said, that's the reason why I don't do it.
I said, you wouldn't like somebody to do that to your sister. So why would you do that and come and start boasting in front of us? That's how I didn't know I was obeying nature. I was obeying my conscience. And gradually God got me born again. I'm going to close. And I'm going to use 5 examples from the Bible. It is so powerful what I'm about to share with you. It was the Holy Ghost who got, I mean, I knew the scriptures before, but the way he put it together. And all of them were unbelievers. Number one, Abimelech. We all know the story very well. John 20, verse 6. Wasn't a Christian, didn't know God, took Sarah. That time there was no law. Moses had not been born, the law had not been written. But Gentiles who do by nature, he took Sarah, because she was a beautiful woman. You know, although this was at the age of 90, God had renewed her youth. You know, he didn't know Ishmael was his sister. Abraham says, sister, took her to sleep with her, put her in the harem. God appeared to him in the dream at night and said, you're a dead man. God is the original Godfather. Give him another clap offering. The original. The movie Godfather doesn't even come close to God. He's the original Godfather. He made him an offer he couldn't refuse. He said, you are a dead man. You've taken another person's wife. You know, he said, now return her or else I'll kill you. That's exactly what God said. I know people don't like that, but that's exactly what God said. And the man said, ah, God, you know I didn't know. God said, I know you didn't know. You're because of the integrity, honesty, obeying of conscience. That man had a continuous assessment report that was good. That's why God went out of his way, giving him a dream and speaking to him. Number two, there are 5 of them. Rahab, the harlot, is not housekeeper, it's harlot. She owned a brothel where people used to come and sleep with women for money. She was a harlot. It doesn't get worse than that morally. But she had a good heart. So when the spies came, I'm just summarizing. You know, she hid them because they were looking for them. Then, when they were going, they made a covenant with her. Look, when we're coming back, we will save you and your father's house. She said, you know, this is the account. You know, you can go and check it in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 2. The Bible says that, you know, she said, when we heard, watch this, honest heart. When we heard of what God had done to the Egyptians, and he split the Red Sea and all the Egyptians were killed, he said, our hearts melted. Then we knew that the God of Israel is the only true God. That's why I'm going to hide you, spies. And when you guys come, my children, my dad, my mom, all my family, I will bring them here. They said, if you do that, break this covenant, if you don't go and start telling the king, don't tell, and you do it, we said, we will look after. And that's exactly what happened. Number 3, Ruth. Another unbeliever. None of these people are Israelites. Talking about obeying your conscience, the key to destiny. Ruth. 2 boys, the sons of Naomi and her husband. The husband died, then they married Orpah and Ruth. To cut a long story short, you know, the boys too died. So Naomi is going back to Israel. So they said they will follow her. Both of them, watch this. Both of them started following her. They all left Moab together. They were on the way. It was on the way that Naomi said, wait a minute. Why are you following me? Are you going to wait until I don't have any husband, even if I have a husband tonight and I have children, are you going to wait until they grow up before to marry them? Say, no. Please go back. You've done well. You've looked after me. You know, you've done well to the dead. Go back to your parents. Go and, you know, and God will give you a new husband and everything. They said, Orpah wept. And then she left. But Ruth said, don't tell me not to leave you. It's one of the most important. We have to look at that one. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. It is, honey, this is the scripture of marriage covenant. But the husband was dead. She was free. What made this girl, this young girl, young Moabitish girl, whose father and mother were idol worshippers? I watched a movie, because I watch these Bible movies, you know, on YouTube. I just see one. If I see something like Ruth, I watch it. So I watched this. I watched it some years ago. You know, her parents worshipped Molech. Molech was a god. They will heat it up, then they will put a baby on top. And the baby will just fry. The abomination of the Moabites. That's where Ruth came from. Naomi is speaking. Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. Watch this. It was an indictment against Orpah. It was a rebuke. Subtle but deep. He said, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Verse 16. One of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. This is not the husband, though. This is the mother-in-law. And the husband is dead. She didn't know Bible. She didn't know New Testament. She didn't know Ephesians. She was just obeying conscience. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And this is the bottom line. Everybody scream it. Shall be. You know why she followed Naomi? She didn't want to go back to those gods. That's the reason. It wasn't Naomi alone. It was God. Because she knew that if she goes back, her parents would make her marry one Moabitish man, and she would go back to that temple and be doing all those things, killing babies. And Ruth said, I would rather die. Next verse. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And then she speaks by the name of the God of Israel. And the Lord do so to me and my also, if aught but death part me. I'm not going back to those gods, even if I die. Give the Lord a clap offering. Then give Ruth, she's here in heaven. Little did she know, continuous assessment. Ruth reached the point of no return. And God said, tick. Well done, girl. You know what? I'm going to make you a matriarch of the Messiah. You don't know where obeying your conscience will take you to. Or disobeying it will take you to. So, to be on the safe side, always obey your conscience as much as lies in you. Very important truth. Number three, we're going to close in a minute. Number four, what in God?
Oh, boys.
Amen. Don't you like the word of God? Number four, Naaman, a leper, a Syrian, unbeliever again. The Bible says that God gave Syria victories through him. Continuous assessment. You see, that man's heart had always been obeying his conscience to the best of his ability. So God showed himself strong on his behalf and gave him, he was a general, gave him victory even though he was a leper. Then God arranged. Everybody would turn to your neighbor and say, God rules in the affairs of men. Man. They put man. God rules there. God arranged for, in one of their raids in Israel, to take a girl from the Samaria who knew about Elisha to become the PA, the house girl, you know, to help her to his wife. So one day when they were just talking, you know how children, you know, people talk. She said, would to God that my Lord will go to the servant. May we have that kind of reputation in this third day. Let people be able to say, would to God. If you go to the prophet in Ibadan, you will get healed. Or the prophet in Lagos, or the prophet in Abuja, wherever. Why doesn't the church have that kind of reputation? Because we do not have the spirit without measure. Elisha had a double portion. So she said, would to God that my Lord would go to the prophet in Samaria. He will heal him of it. Because they have heard of so many healings while she was in Samaria, before she was captured. So somebody now told the wife now. Anyway, Naaman got to hear. So Naaman did it through the natural process. He went to the king and went from, you know, using diplomatic route. Say, let's go to Israel. Since this prophet is so big, we'll tell the king, and the king of Israel will now get the prophet to come and, you know, to heal me. So he goes with this big entourage. Plenty of money, plenty of, you know, it's like Secretary of State, Blinken today, you know, with Air Force 3. You know, there has Air Force 1, there's Air Force 2, there's Air Force 3. Okay. You know, with all of the FBI and CIA and everybody and all the big, big, big money. You know, they land in Israel. Stupid king. I think it was Ahab, wasn't it? I can't remember which king he was. It was one of these, you know, unserious kings. You know. So he now made his request. He said, we have a great prophet in this place, you know, and that you can heal the leper. So I'm here. I want to be healed. The king starts crying. Silly guy. Doesn't know God from Adam. Naaman, watch this. I just got this. It's a word of wisdom. Do you know, Naaman had more faith than the king of Israel. What an indictment. Who's supposed to be a custodian of the law? So, you know, the king begins, he says, you see this man, he's looking for trouble. Am I God that I can heal the leper? You know, and he begins to carry on like most of us, complain and murmur and all of that. The news gets to Elisha, prophet of God. He says, tell him to come and see me. And he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. What a word. Give Elisha a super clap offering. Oh, what a word. What a word. So, Naaman goes, you know, as he's instructed. He gets to Elisha's house expecting a big welcome party. And he's a whole general of Syria. You know, you don't treat him anyhow. Elisha does not even come out. He sends Gehazi. And says, go and tell him that he should go and dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River and he will be healed. Naaman is angry and rightly so because he has been treated shabbily. You don't treat a man of that stature like that. So he goes in a rage. He's angry that he should be treated so, you know, badly, you know, by Elisha. But Elisha wasn't really insulting him. God was using Elisha to test his honesty. God will test you. So he's angry. So one of his servants, who's the good man. Remember, it was a servant that gave him the information, and it was a servant that saved him. Because he had continuous assessment. The heart was. He's always exercised himself with that. So one of them said, Oga, If the prophet had asked you to do some difficult thing, you would have done it. He said, as you said, Naaman is a good man. Give Naaman a clap of. He's in heaven. He wasn't proud. He didn't say, shut up there. You know, in those days, they had power over life and death. He could have killed that slave. You're calling me leper. And this guy insulted me. You know, I was like, I'll get Gary from Joe. He could have done that. Many of his contemporaries would have done that. But he had a good heart. He always obeyed conscience. So his conscience told him, after all, nothing to lose. So he said, okay. So he stopped. He goes to the Jordan. He comes, goes in seven times. Sometimes his skin becomes like a baby's skin. All the leprosy is gone. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Then he goes back to Elisha. He said, now I know. There is no other God in heaven or earth but the God of Israel. And he urges Elisha to take some money. And I said, you see, that's what I was talking about, false prophets during the Bible study. Once people insist on a financial transaction, you understand? Red flag it. It's not God. I didn't say it won't work. I said it's not God. The things of God, that you cannot do it with money. It had nothing to do with money. And he refused. He pressed. You can't buy it. Just go. Take it as goodwill from the God of Israel. I just got a text. I've never seen this. Also, I've preached this many years. Elisha was winning favor for Israel. By letting Naaman go without collecting any money from them, he put Israel in the good favor of Syria. Give Elisha another clap offering. Everything in life is not money. I just got another scripture. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemy. If they ever said in any meeting, any war cabinet in Syria, back in those days, that they want to attack Israel, the first one who will get up is Naaman. No, we cannot do anything. Look at what they did for me. And so he leaves. We know the story about Gehazi, the bad boy. Like so many of our Penti rascals today. Notice I didn't say Pentecostal, I said Penti rascals. There are plenty of them. All they know is money, 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 money. Ah! Big man like this come. We don't take any offering. We must take offering. So he runs after the guy. Takes his money. You know what happened to him. Elisha gets it by word of knowledge. You know. And the leprosy of Naaman. Watch this. Not only him. His seed forever. Be careful. I'm going to say something. I haven't said it all this time. But I'm going to say it now. How you obey your conscience doesn't only affect you, it affects your generations. The Yorubas are enjoying God's favor today because of Bishop Ajayi Crowther. The Israelites are enjoying God's favor today because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The United Kingdom is enjoying God's favor today because of the King James Bible, John Wesley, and the missionaries. Don't ever forget it. Nigeria is enjoying God's favor today because of people like S.G. Elton. He was white, but he was our spiritual father. And many others. Some of us are still alive today. What we did 20, 30 years ago has continuous assessment has given, built up a bank of favor for Nigeria. It is going to be well with Nigeria. Not because of all the Nigerians that are around there who are doing 419, but for their father's sakes. God never forgets. He's a generational God. It will be well with your children because of what you are doing. It will be well with your grandchildren because of what you are doing. Even if they disobey God and they do the wrong thing, God will chasten them. But he will not take his mercy from them because of you. See how important it is for you to obey your conscience. Number five, and I'll close because I know you are counting. The last one is in the New Testament, and he's a man named Cornelius. Again, unbeliever. The Bible says there was a man in Caesarea, a centurion. And the Bible says he prayed to God and gave alms always. Now, alms cannot save him. Unbeliever prayer cannot save him. But the heart. He had a record with God in heaven. He said, they have come up as a memorial. Continuous assessment of the heart. So the man was in good standing with God. So God said, this guy is not going to get saved with all of this alms given and everything. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send Peter to him. So God works on both ends. Give the Lord a clap offering. Talk about all things working together. First of all, he gives Cornelius a vision. How many of you have had visions when you are praying? He's an unbeliever who had a vision. True story. And send to Simon in the house of Joppa, you know. He's going to come. Then, while the people were on the way, he gives Peter a vision. Knowing Peter and his Jewish correctness. And say, what I have cleansed, don't call it common. So, God arranges the meeting. You know, the people come. Peter, they take Peter. Peter gets to the place, enters Cornelius' house. Peter says, now I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That in every nation, Chinese, Japanese, Indian, Nigerian, American, German, Australian, it doesn't matter. This truth I'm telling you is universal. Yeah, it encompasses all men for all ages. It's not New Testament or Old Testament. God has always been working like, he's still working like that. You know what happened? Peter begins to preach, tells them about Jesus and all that. God doesn't let him finish the message. He gets to the place where he says Jesus was raised from the dead. The Bible says, right at that moment, he said the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they got born again and started and filled with the Holy Spirit simultaneously. Probably 1 second delay between the two. Born again, then I began to speak in tongues. You know, I've always wondered about this. No sinner's prayer. The only thing God used was the honesty of the heart. No sinner's prayer. They didn't say, oh, I believe Jesus, you know, I accept him. There was no altar call. Because men had a good record of obeying their conscience. Stand to your feet. If you obey your conscience, make it the cardinal thing of your life. Never violate your conscience as much as... I know because of the sin nature, you may not be able to do everything perfectly. Mm-mm. God doesn't care about that. But, you know, he cares about your saying yes and then acting on it to the best of your ability. Within the framework of what you have at that time. And with time, he will help you. He will show himself strong on your behalf. Don't violate your conscience, so it will affect your destiny. Sinner or saint. Some of the things that helped me. I remember somebody was saying this about me. Was it yesterday? You know. Yes, it was Professor Fred Adigoke. It was Brother Fred who sent us that clip about Pa Elton. He got sent us one part. Then when I went on the internet, I now saw the remaining two parts and I sent it to everybody. And this is what Fred told me. You know, he was Mommy Sarah's pastor. Yes, he was the one who, when Mommy Sarah got born again, God is so good. You know, they were both in the postgraduate hall, University of Ibadan. They were doing postgraduate. So he arranged that Sarah got to know Fred. So Fred was her pastor and was looking after her. And he was telling her the right things to do and all of that, encouraging her to come for fellowship and all that. That time, people didn't like people like Mom Sarah because she used to put lipstick and Jerry Cola hair like this. In fact, is this one a pastor? Auntie Rhoda, don't let me start on you this afternoon. They are doing Jericho. Don't worry, Rhoda. Your hair is given to you for a covering. I'm only joking. But seriously, you know, so most people in the fellowship would not accept Sarah. She was Tokes in those days. They won't accept her. But Fred did. Fred said, look, don't worry, you know, the lipstick and all that, that's not what makes you a Christian. So she got saved and she got filled with the Holy Spirit. You know? That's another story. You know, her baptism of the Holy Spirit was like on Elosun. Mommy did not get baptized in the Holy Spirit by somebody altar call or going out somewhere. It was in her room. She knelt down and she just found herself speaking in tongues. I said it was because of my intercession. Even though I didn't know you. Honestly, I believe that. Because the way she got baptized is exactly the same way I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in London years earlier. So I know it was the same God. Hallelujah! Now, you know what happened. So Fred said to me, he said, OJ, he said, you know, we're talking about all of the things by Elton and everything. So he said, OJ, you know, he said, it's true. He said, you know, you had the chance to have started branches all over the whole place. He said, you had the men. I remember that Pastor Grace in Calabar. He said, you could have done anything you wanted. He said, but you chose to obey your conscience. Convenient thing to do. Everybody was doing, you know. People were selling my book in London for £10. Thank you, Pastor Gbega. Pastor Gbega has corrected me. It was £25. There was somebody who was working in that ministry. He said they made over £100,000. And I was here in Nigeria groaning. That's the difference between a man who will obey his conscience. And if I had done that, I would have lost my life and my ministry. Let's talk to God. Shepherd of my soul. Bid me sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it.
Shepherd of my soul.
That's obeying your conscience.
I give you full control.
Wherever.
Wherever you may lead, I will fall.
Voice.
To listen for your voice.
I need to hear you guys.
Wherever you may lead, I will go.
Be it.
Be it in the quiet pasture or by the gentle stream. The shepherd of my soul is by my side.
The shepherd of my soul.
Shepherd of my soul.
Will be my God. Shepherd of my soul. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah.
Shepherd of my soul.
I give you
my soul. Wherever you believe.
Wherever you may be.
Oh, Lord.
I will fall. We're going to pray in a minute. I'll be reminded of one last scripture, which I didn't mention. It's in John chapter 10:15. He said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. The world is full of men who are obeying their conscience like this. Many of them are not born again now, but they are coming. I have sheep that are not of this fold. But when you meet people, don't judge them. He said, I did not come to judge the world. He says, if any man obey not my word, he said, I judge him not. He may not accept when you invite him to Jesus and all that. He may not accept at that time. But that does not mean he's not going to get born again later. Especially if he's obeying his conscience. He may still have some questions that he wants to, you know, resolve. I have sheep, not of this fold. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. I didn't hear you. I thank you for your word this afternoon. Thank you for opening my eyes to see the vital importance of obeying my conscience constantly as the key to fulfilling my destiny. Thank you for continuous assessment, that you don't just judge me on one event, but you judge me continuously. Father, I confess my sins where I have disobeyed my conscience. I receive mercy, the blood of Jesus, to cleanse me from all sin. I receive life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. Going forward, Father, by your mercy and grace, I determine in my heart to always obey my conscience. I'll not allow my conscience to be seared with a hot iron by continually disobeying it. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to consistently obey my conscience so I can fulfill the fullness of my destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka shala prikito frenes. Father, thank you. Zala prikito fren. Lombragas. Father, thank you. Zala prikito lomo shala prikito frenes. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lambrikito lomo to frenes. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Lambrikito frenes. Thank you for your blood. Lambrikito shke frenes. For your life. Rapra. Rikito fren. Lombrikakamatulos. For your power. Nikito frenes. Raninga. Lambrikatuske. Lombridis. Nangiko frenes. Lebradala. Lombria jokaka rico to fre lombridis kofri lombra lombrikito fredes lombrikitos kofres nengerdeles kofredes no fredes non gito lomoto fres jofridias lombradela ridos kofri nombriga lopreles lombradeka nekatolomo shoko in our wheels laprika in and upon our wheels laprito fredes. Our minds, la brito fridesca. Our emotions, la brito fridesca. Our bodies, la brito fridesca. Our circumstances, rico fridesca. Our regional heavens, la brito fridesca. Insufficient measure, rico to fre. Lombrica tusco fre. Lopridi, zecato fre. Lambriga, zefre. Lombrica tu fre. Zelia, rebrost, zofridi. Tolomoshalico fre. No fride, nengato. In Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, just raise that hand. If you're at home, stretch it towards your device. Father, we release the healing power that is in your word. For the Bible says you send your word and heal them and deliver them from their destruction. Receive the power of healing, the power of deliverance in the name of Jesus. Release healing power into your bodies to effect the healing and the cure. We come against the spirit of fear, spirits of doubt, spirits of oppression, of depression. We cast you out from their souls and bodies. Destroy your works therein. Resist that. We bind you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. We'll close the service. Shepherd of my soul. One more time. Sing it. Hallelujah.
Shepherd of my soul.
What a prayer. I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice.
Wherever
of my soul.
The shepherd of my soul is now my God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your parents. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you always obey your conscience by the grace and the mercy of God, so you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.